Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to welcome you, and I thank you so much for coming. And again, I want to thank for all those people who are watching and worshiping us with us online. And I just want to say to you, if you think this is good, you can come back next hour at 11, and we're going to do it again. I want to share with you a story about a young lady by the name of Kayla Montgomery. Kayla was a senior in high school. She was 17 years old, and she ran on the cross-country team. And I got to tell you, she was quite a runner. In fact, Kayla was so good that she was ranked in the country as one of the best. If you ever saw Kayla run a race, my friends, you would never forget it. You know why? Because when Kayla ran, she ran with no feeling from her waist on down. Kayla had MS. And so when she ran, she was numb from the waist down. You see, what would happen is that as her body, we begin to generate heat through exercising, her MS would kick in, and it would just shut everything down from the waist on down. But I got to tell you, it did not stop her, because as I said, she was at one time ranked in the top 25 high school girls in all of the country. Oh, how Kayla loved to run. But running wasn't the problem. Stopping was the issue. You see, Kayla could run forever, but she couldn't decelerate. And so her coach came up with a strategy, and the plan was simply this: Kayla, you run with all that you have, and I'll be at the finish line. And when you cross that finish line, I'll be there to catch you. And I got to tell you, that was no small collision. The coach would then pick up Kayla, and he would carry her to a side, a safe place off to the side, and he would begin to give her water and ice chips. And gradually, her body temperature would come down, and she would begin to return, and her feeling would begin to return, and everything would come back to normal. But the coach reminded her after every race, Kayla, you run with everything you have, and I promise you, I'll always be there to catch you. That was his pledge to her. And my dear friends in Christ, that's God's pledge to us. We're in a race right now called life. And you know what? This race, there's a finish line. Maybe 5 years, it may be 20 years, it may be 100 years. We don't know where that finish line is, but each and every day we're getting closer to the finish line, right? So my question for you this morning is this: who's at your finish line ready to catch you? Do you remember on Good Friday when Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of the last words that he said, one of the last phrases was this: it is finished. That's a business term. And what it simply means is this, is that the debt had been paid in full.
Amen.
Now that we run this journey, this race called life, it changes how we run. Because the burden and the power of sin, death, and the power of the devil has been lifted. So run that race with everything you have, knowing that Jesus is at the finish line with his arms wide open, waiting to catch you. Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me out of respect for God's word as I read from Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, it is my prayer today that we would always be reminded that we have been buried with Christ, but we've also been raised to new life. And it's in that name I pray, amen. You may be seated. So the ladies are on their way to the tomb, the Bible tells us. I would have loved to have been a part of that conversation. I'm not really sure there was much of a conversation going on. Maybe once in a while somebody would say something. But I want to remind you is that they had to wait a day to go to the tomb. You remember? You see, they had not finished the burial preparations for Jesus. And it was unlawful to do it on the Sabbath, which was the day before. And so now they're a day late and they're on their way to the tomb. They had forgotten now that it's the third day. And obviously, there were some things that Jesus said that they weren't sure about. You know why? Because they're devastated. These women don't know what to do. Their hearts have been crushed. And the reason that they've been crushed is because they believed. They thought Jesus was the one. When he invited them to come and see, that's what they did. They came and they saw and they investigated. And everything that they saw, they witnessed the powerful hand of God. They believed that he was the Messiah, the one that was to come, the one that they were waiting for. And now, he's dead. You know what I've learned in my life? I've learned that whenever something seems impossible, whenever you bring Jesus into the conversation, all of a sudden anything is possible. Amen? And you know what? Because we are believers in Jesus Christ, that means, my friends, that you and I have access to the supernatural, which means not even death can hold him down. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, that's why Jesus said to the women, that's why Jesus says to us, come and see. Come and see with your eyes. Come and investigate everything that I've ever said or done. Come and witness the mighty, powerful hand of Almighty God. Well, what was it that they saw? The blind see, the lame walked, the lepers were cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached to the poor. That's what they witnessed, right? And isn't that exactly what the Holy Scriptures tell us that you will find when you find the Messiah? Then what happened? How did they not believe? The answer is quite simple. You see, when it comes to Jesus, seeing is not believing. But believing is seeing. Amen. I want to remind you that here we are today, we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday. But we can't celebrate today unless we first had Good Friday, right? You can't celebrate an empty tomb unless you first celebrate the death of Jesus on the cross. You know this was all planned. And it was all planned from the very beginning of time. You see, from the very beginning of time, God put a pattern into motion. And the pattern that he put into motion was this: darkness, then light. Let's go back to creation. In Genesis 1, verse 5, do you remember what God said? There was evening, darkness, and there was morning, light, the first day. My friends, I want you to understand the importance of this detail. This is no small detail that we just overlook, because what God shows us from the very beginning, even before man was born or created, that there was a pattern. And this pattern was a reflection of the saving work of Jesus Christ. You see, first you have to have darkness. You have to have death. You have to have the cross. And then you can have light and life and an empty tomb. You see, we live in a world backwards. In our fallen world, this is what we say: we live and then we die. But according to the scriptures and God's pattern, we die and then we live forever, right? From the very beginning of time, God set a pattern into motion that there must be a Good Friday first. We must understand the pain and the hurt of death. And only then can we appreciate the Easter morning, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the pattern that God began from the very beginning of time. And that's why Jesus said, when you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. When I was working on my master's degree at Wichita State University in sports administration, one of my assignments was I had to work the Special Olympics. You know what my job was? I was a hugger. You see, what we did is we were over at the football stadium, and all of the Special Olympians were there, and I mean, there were kids everywhere. And so I was assigned to the 50-yard dash. My job was just to stay in my lane, and when the athlete would run to me, I was to stand there with my arms wide open, and then what they told me was when they crossed the finish line, hug the heck out of them. That's all I had to do. Well, I thought that maybe my size might be a little intimidating. So what I did was, before every race, I went back and I introduced myself to the Special Olympian. There was one individual that I remember to this day. I remember I went back and I said to him, I said, "Hi, my name is Bob. I'm going to be at the finish line and I'm going to be your hugger. And I promise you, I'm going to give you the best hug that you've ever had. So you run to me because I'll have my arms wide open for you." And he said, "Hi, Bob, my name is Johnny." And then he said something to me that was very unusual. He said, "After you hug me, I want to show you something." Well, I went back and I stood in my position. It was a 50-yard dash. And I remember the starter. He had his starter's gun. And he said, "Runners to your mark, get set." And bam! And all the runners took off. And in the first 10 yards of a 50-yard race, Johnny was way in last place. But I got to tell you, you should have seen the smile on his face. He was running with all of his might. And he was running towards me. I remember when he crossed that finish line, I picked him up and I swung him around. But when I got back around, he pushed me away. I thought, But then I thought, well, maybe he just doesn't like hugging. I know a few people that don't like that. But then when I sat him down, he grabbed me by my hand and he walked me across the track to a glass case. And in the glass case were the medals that every athlete got. He said to me, "Look, Bob, that's my medal." I'll never forget his words. He said, "My coach told me, if I run the race and finish the race by crossing the finish line, I'll get a hug and a medal." My friends, I want to say this to you. When you run the race of life with the Lord Jesus Christ and you cross the finish line, He will be there for you with a great hug and an even greater reward. Amen. About 115 miles from here, there's a headstone. And on the headstone it says, "Michael Todd Beckler, born 1968, died 1975. But underneath it, there's something else that's written. And what's written are these words: "Because Jesus lives, Michael lives also." That's the good news of Resurrection Sunday. Because Jesus lives, we will live forever with Jesus in His kingdom, and we will have our reward. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for what Jesus did on the cross. It's hard on Good Friday, but I'm so thankful for Good Friday, because if we didn't have Good Friday, we couldn't have the celebration that we're having today. But Lord, I pray that every person in this room would remember these words: because Jesus lives, we can live forever. And it's in that name I pray. Amen.